open public input. We've got a number of people who've signed up to present us with their views. Thank you for attending. We look forward to hearing from you. I always go through the commission rules. We ask you to come forward, sit in front of a mic. You don't have to be too close to the mic. We give you each 3 minutes. You'll hear a beeping noise. That means your time has come to an end, and we'd like you to conclude your remarks if you're in the middle of a sentence. Okay, so the first, I'll call up two at a time. The first two people are Robert Cunningham and Bill Thomas. Would you come forward, please? Okay, Mr. Cunningham.
Yes, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name's Robert Cunningham. I'm from Bellingham, Washington. Recently retired after 45 years in business, a small business. And here we go again. I've been here many times. Years of effort to no avail, the better part of 2 years traveling to Olympia and the formation of the Golden Fish Rules, many more years on the beach mining effort, and now it's going to go by the wayside. Your blind faith in staff is misplaced. It is my belief that persons on WDF staff have deliberately set out to harm small-scale miners, knowing full well that their collective actions would cause harm. One example of that would be when several of us attended a commission meeting and heard one of your lead biologists defend sport fishing openings and guarantee there would be no eggs or salmonoids in the gravel, while at the same time the timing windows excluded prospectors due to eggs in the gravel, and this commission adopted the timing rules. Repeat, the commissioner set up there October 2008 on a Friday, and you heard Habitat Bio Perry Harvester state that temperature unit work windows indicated there were fish in the gravels. Then on Saturday, you heard from the sports fish manager how the fish dates were established with 100% certainty that there were no fish in the gravels. Yet 30 days later in November, you adopted the rules anyway, knowing there was a disparity. But you cannot have it both ways. I've personally been attacked by NOAA through this agency for performing an action that did not take place. At that time, I offered to attend future meetings of this agency to no avail. At the very least, regulators need to have an understanding of what they are regulating. Over and over again, we've been excoriated that the department must, repeat, must protect fish life at all costs. If that is the case, I would expect this body to ban any further sports or commercial fishing openings, as that is the only method of fulfilling the department mandate, as it's been explained to the prospecting community. We are not to harm a single solitary egg or fry, while others kill them by the thousands. So where is our equal protection under the law? Thank you. And if anybody ever has any questions, I'm very reachable.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Bill Thomas, Mount Vernon, Washington. I'm here to try to get some explanation of why the department, specifically the Habitat Division, feels that it's necessary for them to keep their jobs or the program alive through lies and stealing and cheating the public. We find that at one time we were stakeholders, and recently, no, we are not. They've managed to come up with a set of rules that you'll hear about later, and not a single one of them was for the beach mining section was discussed with the mining community. When asked who made them, was told the individual's name and his staff, not us. We made our public comments, and lo and behold, didn't change. In fact, now it's gotten worse. Somebody's going to propose to change timing windows when we had the whole issue 5 years ago, timing windows were non-negotiable and couldn't be changed. Now somebody is coming up saying they're going to change timing windows. So which is it? They're either non-negotiable, but we couldn't have them changed, or they are. And if they are, they've got to have the science behind them, correct? New legislation. With that is a whole list of other things that division feels that they don't have to do. They don't have to follow the Administrative Procedures Act when it comes to informal appeals. Don't know why. It must not be adjudication. Seems to be adjudication to me when you have to appeal something. Gentleman was denied a permit, 90 days to get it, based because now saying that even though it was denied, and we have to file the appeal within 30 days, right? If we had go do a site survey, maybe, possibly, we'll reissue the permit. That's asked backwards. I'm just going to quit right there.
Okay. Thank you. John Rosabipi and Bruce Beatty. Beatty? John? Mr. Rosabipi.
Oh, okay. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. My name is John Rosabipi. I am with Defenders of Wildlife, Washington Outreach Representative. Defenders is a nonprofit group with over 1 million members, with 30,000 in Washington, that seeks to protect native plants and animals in their habitat. I'm speaking on behalf of the proposed changes on wolf management. First, we wish to extend our gratitude for the department's increased focus on non-lethal measures to address livestock and wolf conflicts, and we want to thank the commission for supporting these measures. However, we are opposed to the changes. We are concerned that these proposed changes would undermine the Washington Wolf Management Plan. The plan was crafted under the guidance of Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife with full stakeholder involvement. It's a good plan that deserves to be implemented in the spirit of cooperation, which was developed. No stakeholder group or individual should be allowed to undermine the plan. Making significant changes to the plan should be only considered as the last resort and not amended routinely. Specifically, we have concerns about the changes proposed by the department would result in a significant change to the plan, including changing the determined definition of a physical attack and allowing permitless take of wolves by livestock owners and their representatives who may not accurately interpret non-threatening wolf behavior and instead are more likely to perceive that wolves are posing a threat to livestock. And then additionally, while we value the importance of paying fair, well-documented compensation for confirmed livestock losses to wolves while they are protected as a state endangered species, we are also concerned about other proposed changes, including expanding the compensation program to cover undefined general property and things like weight loss, which are difficult, if not impossible, to measure. There is still no evidence that the presence of wolves or any predator reduces weight in cattle or reduces reproduction rates. We urge the department to adopt Oregon's compensation model that allows local oversight of payments based on known losses, and to livestock owners who are actively and adequately implementing non-lethal deterrence and animal husbandry methods to protect livestock and help conserve wolves. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on these issues. Defender of Wildlife seeks to continue our support for Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife as the agency moves forward with wolf conservation efforts. Our comments are made in the spirit of cooperation and goodwill. Thank you very much, and full comment has been provided to staff.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Beatty, good to see you again.
Thank you. It's been a couple of years. The last time I was here, Susan Yeager sat in the corner. We missed the commissioners at our miners' rally. I wish you some year you'll come up to the miners' rally. You did get the invitation. I do take it.
I think we did. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
I want to, I'm here today, give you a handout. I want to kind of review the law pertaining to federal mining lands and our federally registered mining claims that are located in the National Forest and the BLM lands. The mining laws are superior to any other land act that's been sent out by Congress. In this piece of paper here, you'll see some things called the Multiple Use Act or the Surface Resource Act, specifically 30 U.S.C. 612A and 612B. I'm going to read only one. For any purpose other than prospecting, mining, or processing, and uses reasonably incident thereto, it was not to be used. A mining claim has only one purpose, and that's the extraction of that mineral. A stakeholder, the only stakeholder of a mining claim is the CEO of the mining claim, or the claimant. That means the tribes, NOAA, or any other agency or NGO has no stakeholder authority to regulate what takes place on that mining claim. There's another act called FLTMA, Federal Lands Policy and Management Act, which is 43 U.S.C. 1732. I especially wish that was in 1976. This is the latest controlling act on the federal mining lands. I might add that the federal mining lands were were given to the citizens of the United States in 1866, followed by the 1872 mining general law, still in effect. Congress does not want any interference of what we do there by state. They have not given any, to my knowledge, the federal government has not given any state west of the 96th parallel authority to regulate the prospector who's entering the open public domain's land, open for mineral entry, nor should they be interfering in any manner the way they operate on a mining claim that are federally registered in the federally managed lands. One other thing, in 2012, in PPL Montana versus Montana, the Supreme Court of the United States said states do not have ownership or title to the non-navigable streams in the state. Non-navigable streams are in the National Forest and the BLM lands where our mines are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I am open to questions, and just like this gentleman back here, you can call me anytime.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Bruce Ferke and Karen Kane, would you please come forward? Okay, Mr. Ferke.
Several months ago, I applied for an HPA to do some prospecting mining on the North Fork of the Skykomish River. Within 30 days, I was supposed to receive in writing whether I was permitted to do that outside the window established in the Fish and Game Handbook. Well, here just yesterday, which was 90 days after the application, I received a denial by email. I understand that there was supposed to be a site survey before that happened. Didn't happen. So, just want to express my opinion that I think is when they say on the letter there, David Brock says, "Oh, it got lost in my inbox." Pretty poor excuse. He's supposed to be a highly paid, responsible person. When I hear stuff like that, it's not a good thing, and I don't like my tax dollars being spent in a way like that. Understand Senator Pearson had to get involved to get some action in on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Kane?
Hi, my name is Karen Kane, and I am from Kelso. And I wanted to talk about the wolf management plan. What would you do if you were out in the woods with your dog and a wolf came after you? And don't tell me that wouldn't happen and doesn't happen, because it would and it does, and it did happen to me. Now, from the time that I recognized what animal was running at me until the time that it would reach me and my dog, I figure I had about 15 seconds to react. So What is it that the current law would have you do in that situation? Well, the first thing you better do is call the State Fish and Wildlife so that you can find out what the protected status of the wolf is in your current location, because it varies depending on where you are. And if you're on the west side of the mountains, you need to ask Fish and Wildlife for a permit so that you're allowed to defend yourself against this animal, and you need to be able to corroborate it with evidence of the non-lethal forms of defense that you have already taken. Once you get done talking to State Fish and Wildlife, then you need to call federal and do it all over again with them. Now remember, you've got about 15 seconds until this animal gets to you. Now that's if you happen to be facing it when it approaches you. If I had had my back turned, I probably would not be here today to talk to you. And remember that the wolf is a silent killer. That's what makes it so effective. There is no warning that it is there. It's just upon you. By this time, the animal is going to be right upon you and your dog, and so you better get your camera out so that you can start taking pictures of it while it's attacking you, so that you can prove that there is actual intent of physical harm on this animal's part, so that you will not be prosecuted. Washington law should be changed to what Wyoming has, where the wolf is recognized as a menacing predator that can be shot on sight. I live in the county where I interact with wildlife on a daily basis. No one asked me if I wanted to have these wolves in my backyard, threatening me, my children, my animals, and my livelihood. And certainly nobody told me last year about these animals being reintroduced, repopulated, and encouraged to propagate everywhere with no defense allowed to the people. The least the government can do is allow me to defend myself and my animals without threat of punishment. The government should not value the life of a wild animal more than the lives of the people that are forced to coexist with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Schmitten.
I'm curious, where do you live?
I live in Kelso. That is not where this happened, though. It was in Thurston County.
In Thurston County. And by chance, did you report it?
I did not report it. It was on private property. It was not my property, and the property owners did not wish the location disclosed.
Thank you.
Director Anderson, can you help us understand what the law is on self-defense? My understanding is you have the right to self-defense.
Well, I am not aware of any federal or state law that if an animal was, any kind of animal, was threatening your life, was attacking you personally, that you couldn't take action to defend yourself. Now, that doesn't hold true for if that animal was attacking a domestic animal, your dog, or some other domestic animal that you may own. But in terms of protecting your personal safety, I'm not aware of any law that would preclude you from doing that.
That's my understanding. Excuse me. Linda Saunders and Kay Atkins, please come forward. Ms. Saunders?
Hi. I'm Linda Saunders, director at Wolf Haven International, and thank you today for the opportunity to speak to you again. I wanted to just talk a little bit about the potential commission approval of the proposed revisions to some WAC regulations concerning wildlife interaction rules. The process for amending the wildlife interaction rules has had its twists and turns, and it's actually been very confusing to those of us trying to track the different versions of proposals and to provide comments on them. The department staff have been very responsive on this issue to us, but I think the general public may find it difficult to really meaningfully comment on them. One of the most confusing aspects of this process has been the evolution of the definition of attack to be used throughout the various WAC conflict rules. Besides the challenge of tracking which definition is being used for what purpose and where in the various WACs, the question remains as to why the definition for attack that was carefully crafted in our four-year multi-stakeholder process is not being used in this process. It's a clear definition that should be used in this process, whose purpose is to more clearly align the wildlife conflict rules with Washington's approved wolf management plan. We're also disappointed to see that two floor amendments to the WAC revisions proposed by the department at the last commission meeting have been dropped from the most recent version. The proposed floor amendments provided some assurance that wolf recovery in Washington will not be jeopardized by adoption of the emergency rule allowing permitless caught in the act killing of wolves that are a state endangered species. And specifically, the language in the floor amendment that restricted the use of the proposed permitless caught in the act WAC revision to the eastern Washington recovery region and those areas of the state that meet or exceed four breeding pairs per recovery region as identified in our state plan, and that the WAC will not apply to any area of the state where the gray wolf is federally protected. The other proposed floor amendment that's no longer in the revised WAC is the language that talks about the director being able to terminate the authority of this rule by emergency action if two or more wolves are killed in 1 year while wolves are considered endangered or protected. Also language from our wolf plan. Wolf recovery has been slow in western Washington. It's impeded by the loss of wolves due to illegal poaching and most recently big game hunting. All sides want to see wolves recover, sometimes for different reasons, but it's rare to have a common goal with such a controversial species. Every individual animal counts when in the early stages of recovery of endangered species, and without the floor amendment language, wolf recovery could be easily slowed. We've also seen a letter from the Center of Biological Diversity and others outlining their concerns surrounding the WAC revision issue. Among other things, they raise the issue of whether or not requirements under SEPA have been met in this action of rulemaking, specifically the SEPA requirement that a checklist is generated unless rulemaking can be considered categorically exempt, which seems not likely due to the controversial nature. Due to these issues, we respectfully request that the Commission delay making a decision on the proposed WAC conflict rules until these issues can be resolved.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Adkins?
Hi. Hello again. I consider myself a concerned citizen with an interest in wolf recovery in Washington State. And amongst all of these people who are testifying, I hope there's room for someone like me who doesn't live with wolves every day, who doesn't have livestock, who tries to see a big picture in our ecology and in our environment, and who grew up in the East and has seen what happens when profit is the main motive. I expected that having passed a wolf management plan a few years ago, promulgated by a group represented by all sides of the issue, that I could watch the wolves return to our Rockies in a somewhat progressive way, monitored and managed by our Fish and Wildlife Department. I have noted the amount of time, energy that the commission members have devoted to this issue, and once again, I thank all of you for your work. I also want to compliment and thank the department for its efforts to involve ranchers and others to learn and utilize non-lethal means of deterring domestic stock predation. We have been a herding society of species for probably 7,000 years, and we've always had this problem. I think that this year's lack of significant incidents is a testimony about what non-lethal means and compensation for lost stock can accomplish. Today, however, I'm here to plead with you to help me understand and affect the recovery of wolves in our state. I'm relatively informed, but lately I have become almost totally confused, and I feel as if I need to constantly be alert to these constant changes to the wolf management plan that change it beyond recognition. I've been waiting for years now for the constant assaults to the wolf plan to abate, but instead they are gaining in number and frequency. I'm having trouble keeping up with and understanding the new proposals or even finding them amidst all these WACs and emergency proposals and so on, revised agendas. I have these comments to make about both my confusion and my frustration. The suggested changes and additions to the WAC seem endless. They seem to enlarge the circumstances in which wolves and endangered species can be killed. If I understand one of the amendments, it was that someone could kill a wolf for endangering his chickens. And we have exterminated wolves in the U.S. already once. We don't need to do it again. We've also exterminated elk. Now we want to preserve them. We've exterminated a lot of things. We've changed our minds. I do not see any proposed changes that purport to help the wolves recover or to support them in their habitat. I don't want to have to resist efforts to kill more wolves, become a full-time avocation, but it seems that I can't keep up with the proposals to kill more in more places, in more instances, in more ways. I heard at least one member of the commission last year say that in talking with other states, we learned that the wolves were reproducing rapidly and were exceeding our estimates by large numbers. Now I learned that Montana has a third fewer wolves. It seems they're barely holding their own. You are our citizen guardians of the wolf recovery. I feel like you're Obi-Wan, you know, Kenobi. Our own wildlife department testified in D.C. to delist the wolves. It looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You are our only help, so please help us.
Thank you. That concludes the open public input item on the morning agenda.